Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It had been about a month and a half since John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan. It was then at that moment of Jesus' baptism that everything had changed. It had been revealed to John before this by God himself, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That is exactly what John the Baptizer saw. After he had baptized Jesus in the Jordan, something unique happened. The heavens opened up. He heard the voice of the Father, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. The Holy Spirit, third person of the triune God, descended and rested upon Jesus, John's very own blood relative. This man standing before John on the banks of the Jordan was it, the Messiah, the anointed one, as he had just seen. The Spirit remained on Jesus, stayed with him, and then drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, during those 40 days of Jesus' temptation out in the wilderness, John continued his ministry. He did not let up what he was preaching. Jesus did not come and stop him. So more people came out from the cities to lay their eyes on this John, the camel hair clad man, the locust eating baptizer, traveling up and down as a prophet along the banks of the Jordan River. And John continued to announce the coming of the kingdom of heaven, perhaps now with more vigor than before. For he himself had witnessed with his own eyes the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. John continued to guide his followers and his fellow sinners toward true repentance, toward life-changing admission of sin and its sorrow. In the waters of that baptism, these believers were promised the forgiveness of sins that would be brought by the Messiah himself. Hope was strengthened as the kingdom of heaven arrived. John's continued activities in the Jordan and around out in the wilderness drew the attention of the religious elites, the scholars, and the experts in the Word of God. The Jews sent out priests from Jerusalem in order to question John, to meet with him and to talk with him. Now, they undoubtedly wanted to know why this eccentric man out in the wilderness felt it was within his authority to so publicly proclaim the coming kingdom. Now, John willingly denied that he himself was not the Christ. He also told them that he was not Elijah or the prophet. Now, John did tell them simply that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, per the prophecy of the great Isaiah. But unsatisfied, the priests questioned John about his act of baptizing. And John answered, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." In that statement, John announced that Jesus was back. He stood among them, and John knew it. Now, the Apostle John, the writer of this gospel text, tells us that on the next day, the baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him. Now, Jesus had returned from his trials in the wilderness, having successfully resisted every temptation that the devil had hurled at him. And seeing Jesus, John the Baptizer said, most likely to his disciples around him, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Look, hey, check it out. This guy right here standing in front of us is the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei, as is in our liturgy." For these disciples, well-versed in the scriptures of Moses and the prophets, they knew very well about the significance of the Lamb. The blood of the undefiled Lamb was the blood that was posted on the doorposts there back in Egypt, that allowed the hand of God to pass over his people. The blood of the Lamb had saved them. And John here prophesied that the Lamb of God standing before them would also save them. All the sin of all the world had been placed on Jesus. When he was conceived, the Son of God became one with humanity. And in his baptism, Jesus, that Son of God, became one with everyone in their sin. Jesus was now all of Israel reduced to one, the new Adam standing before them all. He who had no sin, or who had ever committed a sin himself, became sin in all of its entirety. And this is the sin that Jesus became, the sin that corrupts us, the sin that we are all born with. And this sin is the sin that leads us to commit sins. Jesus took upon himself our complete and total corruption. And Jesus did exactly that because we ourselves could not bear it. We cannot bear our own sin and survive the wrath of God. When God sees who we are as sinners, all that's hiding deep inside, he is not happy. His wrath is ignited, and his justice must prevail. Left on our own, we would certainly collapse under the burden of our sin. We are powerless, powerless to save ourselves. There's no way at all whatsoever that we could ever make God love us and take us back. Our sin is too great for us to bear. But our sin was no match for Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Per the plan of God for our salvation, Jesus became sin. He took upon himself not just our sin, but the sin of the whole world, of everyone who has ever lived, from Adam until the time of Jesus' return. What was and is too great for you to bear, Jesus has taken upon himself for you. In his death on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for all sin. And not just the sin of those who would one day believe in him, but the sin of all, even those who would reject him and who reject him still. Their sin stands paid for, only they have not believed it. That is why John can say with certainty that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and all in it. Full redemption has been achieved by Jesus and by no one else. Jesus' blood, his precious blood, the blood of God, is worth more forgiveness than any number of sinners that ever will be, and any number of sins that will ever be committed. John's words point his disciples and us to the Lamb of God. He points us to Jesus, the only Savior from sin. Behold, in the Greek, edu, look, gaze upon Jesus and his cross. That is where your attention and focus should always be in life. That is the one thing that is necessary. It is what Paul desired to preach, and nothing else. Christ and him crucified. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold him in his word. Behold him in his sacrament as he gives you his holy body and holy blood in the bread and the wine. John has revealed to us what had been revealed to him, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Lamb of God, who is worthy of our praises now and forever. How appropriate that is for our season now of Epiphany, our season of the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God. We are so blessed to hear of Jesus as the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Behold the Lamb. Behold his cross. Behold your Savior, your King, your Lord, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin forever. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, that comes from Christ alone, guard and keep you in him until his return. Amen.